Okay, good morning.
Dear saints and guests, it's a pleasure to have you here in Northgate Gospel Chapel this morning. And I pray that you will, as I will, enjoy the study that we will discuss today. So as you see on the screen here, we've been talking about kings in the book of the Old Testament. And our minds are drawn today to the king of Uzziah. And it is in the exercise and the examples of Uzziah that we'll see wonderful, great truths about God and also great truths about ourselves and mankind. So before we begin our study, let's open up in a word of prayer and ask the Lord's blessing. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful day, Father. We thank you for the privilege and joy it is ours to come together under your word, Father. We thank you for your word as it gives instruction and gives life, Father. And we pray, Lord, that we may see you above all, Father. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. King Uzziah. He was the son of Amaziah that she spoke to about last week. And today we pick up about his son and how he is represented in the Bible as an example. So these are the verses that are covered the life of Uzziah in the Old Testament, but we're going to mainly look today probably most likely into the chapters of Chronicles. So using a familiar chart that was seen last week, we are over on the far bottom right of Uzziah. We will talk about his reign. We will also talk about his victories and also his fall. Now, as you read the passages of Chronicles, chapter 26, you'll see some interesting things about Uzziah. His father is, when we look up the meaning of his father's name, you will see that it means God, whom God strengthens. Whom God strengthens. And also we see his mother, Jecholiah, able through Jehovah, and through the union of the father and the mother, they bring forth a son, Uzziah, whose name means Jehovah is strength. Jehovah is strength. And that is very important, not only in the meaning of his name, but we'll see how that meaning in his life is exemplified through the blessing of the Lord. Uzziah was the 11th king of Israel, of Judah. And in some cases, if you count Solomon starting from zero or not, he would be the 10th or the 11th, depending on which one you want to count. But anyway, he's about the 11th king of Judah. He comes on the scene at the age of 16 when his father dies, and he becomes the now heir and the next to the throne for the kingdom. Now remember, he is a son who's grown up under the tutelage and the wisdom and the example of his father. And he's seen how a king is supposed to act. He knows the protocol. He knows the logistics. He knows all the things that he needs to do to be a king because he has witnessed it firsthand. He has seen the blessings and some of the falls that his father has done to his advantage, we will see. To his disadvantage, we will also see. But we know that he was in that place. His reign is now 52 years, the second longest reign of kings in the Bible. He has a long time at that position, one where it can make a dramatic impact, or it cannot. 52 years he's at it. And he is doing it as a representative and as a king. 52 years. Now, how long have you and I have been a believer, if you're a believer today? How would you say your progress is? How would you measure that? Or how would you not measure it, but how much fruit has been given at the time of the years of your service? As I mentioned before, he was influenced by his father. But also in the passages in Chronicles, we see that he was influenced by a prophet, Zechariah. So let's look at the few verses in chapter 26, 2 Chronicles. Then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the room of his father Amaziah. He built Eloth and restored it to Judah after the king slept with his fathers. 16 years old was he, and he began to reign, and reigned the time of 52 years. Important enough, in verse 4 it says, he did what was right in the sight of his Lord, according to all that his father had did, and he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And this is the pinnacle part of chapter 26, one of the pinnacle verses of chapter 26. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Now there's a lot in that verse there. Could probably be a whole sermon within itself, probably a two-day sermon or a weekend sermon. But as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. There is no secret to the Christian fellowship, to Christian fruitfulness. It is simple. And it's placed right simply in these words. Seeking the Lord in humility, in honesty, in purpose, God will honor and God will bless. It isn't doing the things for the Lord. Is it working for the Lord? It's seeking the Lord. It is diligently searching for him, being humble about it, being in a position where, Lord, I want to know more of you and more of who or what you are and less of myself. Putting the effort to strive and to look for what the Lord is and who his person is, what his characters are. And the word says that God will bless it. God blessed Uzziah, as we will see, above and beyond imagination. Now, there's some verses we know that we think in the old, we can think throughout the Bible about seeking the Lord and its importance. We know that if we are honest and humble about our walk with the Lord, it is something that should be part of our lives. One does not find a treasure and know that it's somewhere, located somewhere, and puts no effort to find it or to retrieve it. But one knows where something important is, that is not just mere a jewel or a crown, but something that is life-changing, life-moving, that has eternal value, it should take of the utmost investment on our behalf. Job says, I would seek unto God, and unto God will I commit my cause. Proverbs says, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. And then a verse that we always familiar with, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. As long as he sought the Lord, seek ye first the kingdom of God. God made him prosper. Jesus says, all these things will be added unto you. He blesses those who seek him. Colossians would tell us, if then we be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. For us, the Christian, it's the heavenly things. It's the things eternal in heaven. For the people of Israel, it was here on the earth. It was the land, their possession. But ours as believers, our treasure is in heaven. Colossians remind us to seek those things which are above and not below. And to seek the Lord while he may be found. Because, beloved, it is coming a day when the Lord Jesus Christ will come back. And he will redeem all those who put their trust in him. And where will those who be who will not be able to find him again? Seek him where and while he may be found. And so Uzziah, the king, seeks the Lord. And by seeking the Lord, he prospers. We might think of other verses in the Bible, a very famous one, the one that I take privy to and have a bias toward, Joshua 1:7. Be strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do all that is in the law, my servant. But what does it say? Thou mayest prosper where thou goest. Do not depart from it. Meditate upon it day and night. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, seeking the Lord, and God will allow you to prosper. In your spiritual walk, in your love for him, in your victories in your life. And we will see how those victories panned out for Uzziah. Going on to verse 6, we see, and he went forth and warred against the Philistines and broke down the walls of Gath and the walls of Jabneh and the walls of Ashdod and built cities about Ashdod and among the Philistines. So now in his prospering, in his seeking, he has enemies. And believers, don't we know we have enemies, don't we? The world, the flesh, and the devil. Don't we have enemies? But yet in his seeking, Uzziah's seeking, God is blessing him. And let's see how that is being blessed. The area now in pink, which is now the area Uzziah is commanding. You would think at the age of 16, here is a young boy coming into a kingdom. They're coming off a battle where they were, wouldn't say decimated, but they were pushed back. They were in withdrawal. And now here comes a new king on the stage at 16. You would think that his kingdom would go down. One, he doesn't have the experience. Two, the poverty of people are in disarray because they felt they've been defeated before. But he seeks the Lord, and God blesses him. He is now on the offense, to where his kingdom is reaching out and stretching. He has victories over his father's enemies, the Edomites. He has taken Elah. And over the southern territory, he has moved as far down south. And for the west, he has gone as far as Philistine and occupied cities in that area. He has gone and leveled walls of these kingdoms, these enemies. He has put them in a place where they now fear him and his God because of what he is or who he is. Why is he prospering? Because he's seeking the Lord. The Lord is working through him and using him in ways that God gets the glory and the honor. It says in verse 7, and God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians that dwelt in those two cities. His name gets so widely publicized that he now gets gifts and tributes from the Amorites. They're like, man, Uzziah, don't come and destroy us. Don't come and take over us. We'll just give you some stuff, you know, just leave us alone. Here's some gifts. Here's some tribute. He gets that from the neighbors. And it says, and his name spread abroad, even unto the entering of Egypt, for he strengthened himself mightily. And as we see here, the border of the Egyptian nation. At 16, or maybe at 20, or 21, but God is blessing him because of who he sought and where he put his efforts into. Are we seeing that victory today in our lives, beloved? Are we seeing the victories that when we seek in the Lord, He's blessing us, that now the enemies are retreating by our presence? They are now on the defensive instead of us be on the defensive. That we're trying to control and handle what little we have. But Uzziah, he reached out and expanded the kingdom. Moving on, it says in verse 9, not only in his statesmanship, but we see that he expands himself beyond the measures of boundaries, that even in politics, as I said, that he received gifts from the Amorites. His name has gone forth throughout the land and reached the borders of Egypt. In verses 9 and 10, he says, we read that how he strengthens the capital city. He fortifies it. In verse 9, it says, he built towers in Jerusalem and at the corner gates and at the valley gates and the turning points of the wall and fortify them. So he erects these columns, these towers, for positions of defense, in case there are attackers that come and attack his king, attack Jerusalem. Verse 10, and he built towers in the desert and digged many wells, for he had much cattle, both in the low country and in the plains. And so not only is he expanding his kingdom, he's setting up positional strategic points in these paths. He's digging wells so that there's water. So now that his cattle is not concentrated in one area, now the cattle has room to grow. More cattle, more food. More food, more people to sustain. More people to sustain, more positions to hold. And so he's being blessed by God, by his faithfulness to the Lord. Not only that, we see in the verses of 11 and so forth that Uzziah has a mighty army. The word says that he has 2,600 special forces at his disposal. On top of that 2,600, he has over 307,000 men of a standing army. Not on top of that he now has the ability to supply each of his members of his army with a uniform, which is unheard for a kingdom before. He supplies them with the shields. He supplies them with the spears. He supplies them with the helmet. He supplies them with the body armor. He supplies them with slings, and he supplies them with bows. He becomes the king that, hey, everybody wants to be part of. Because they're not going out with just a spear and nothing else. They know that they have some sort of protection against the enemy. They feel that they have an advantage over the enemy now. Because not just five guys are covered with armor or with military strife works, but the whole army is suited with the gear. And he becomes the king of a great nation. Not only that, in his statesmanship as politics, not only in his politics, but in his commanding of a standing army, but also he is into the advanced technology. The word says that he builds machines on top of towers that has the ability to shoot bows and slings and rocks. So if he was to put Uzziah in today's society, he would be the great politician. He would be the great war general. He would be the great entrepreneur to run an economy. He would be the great inventor. All these wonderful things and great things that he had done. Why? Going back to verse 5. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. You cannot equate the essence of Uzziah's kingdom, because it was only second to none to Solomon. But in Solomon, we know that he was the wisest man in the Bible. So you might say he had a leg up on Uzziah. But Uzziah is coming in real close, extremely close. And all because he sought the Lord, and God blessed him. Today, beloved, we have a king also that equips us, does he not? We read in the book of Ephesians chapter 6 of how we are to put on the armor of God. He mentions to put on. Why does he say put on? Why? Because it's actually already been supplied. He's given us the tools. He's given us the protection. All the protection that we need. Same thing as Uzziah. He provided all that protection for each man that was in his army. And God blessed him. And so we see that Uzziah, historically, is a great individual, what he has done, what he has accomplished. Coming in at such a young age. We think of the victories that Uzziah has. We also know that we also have victory. Corinthians would tell us that we have the victory through Christ. It isn't victory that we can boast of our own, but it is through Christ that we have the victory. So if we take a look, just turn with me if you can, with Mark chapter 5. Let's take a look at some of the victories that are possible through Christ, or that have been mentioned through Christ. So Mark chapter 5, we see that there are three stories in Mark chapter 5 that we are pretty familiar with. One it has to do with the man who was possessed. Another has to do with the lady who had the issue with the blood. And also Darius's daughter who has died. We see in each of those cases that through Christ, as Paul would write here in Corinthians chapter 15, that our victory is through Christ. It can be beyond and without and inside and outside of nothing else except it be in Christ. And when we look at Mark chapter 5 and see these examples, we can equate that for the man who was possessed with the demons, just the time you can spend on your own. But I wanted to look at just one verse that speaks of the victory. Look at verse 18 of Mark chapter 5. And when he was come into... That's not the verse. It's close to the verse, but not the verse. Hold on. Give me a second. Here he said, okay, yes, verse 18. Actually, it's not verse 18. Let me go back. It's in there. I know it's in there. So what I'm saying is the man has victory is that they come and see Jesus. They see the man who was possessed with the demons. He is sitting, he is clothed, and he is in his right mind. That man, possessed with a demon, would have not gotten to the state of victory had it not been for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. He could do nothing outside of himself to get him to a state where he's sitting, where he's clothed, and where he is in his right mind. We go on to the story about the lady who had the issue with the blood. She had seen many doctors, had been through the ringer over and over again, and could not address the issue. But she says, if I just touch his garment, I will be made whole. And what does she do? She touches the garment. We know the story well, that she becomes healed. And it is through the Lord Jesus Christ she had the victory. It was in none of the doctors. It was in none of the methods or the prescriptions or fashions or folklores or whatever that she would have tried or done. Outside of Christ, there was nothing. And of course, we come to the last one of Jairus' daughter, who passes away. They call Christ. Christ comes and says, oh, she's just sleeping. They mock and laugh and scorn him. And what does he bring? Three of the disciples with him and the parents into the room. And there he tells her to rise up. And there's victory there. Outside of that circumstance, there was nothing that could be done, but the only victory was through the Lord Jesus Christ. Those three examples, we see that it is through Christ that we have the victory, not of ourselves. And so can we be as victorious in a sense like Uzziah? Yes, we can. But Uzziah had a problem. And here's where we go back to Chronicles 26, of where the whole story turns. As I might say, in a way, turns south. 26. Verse 16, it says, but when he was strong, his heart was lifted up and up for destruction. Now, before I get to that, take a look at Uzziah's life. We notice that him and his father are similar. There's a saying that says the chip does not fall far from the block. And then the other added part to that is especially the big pieces, right? So look at Uzziah's life and look at his father's life. What? It says that they both did right in the sight of the Lord, right? But we say that, but we know that Uzziah's lot, his father's life, as she talked about last week, is that he did not with the whole heart. That means he held back some things. There were some things he just wouldn't let go and give it to God. But his son sees that, but maybe he picks up on it, and maybe he doesn't. We also see that his father allows people to burn incense on the sacrifices of altars. It wasn't allowed in God's word. It says don't do it. People shouldn't be doing that, but his father allowed it. And now we see in Uzziah, written in the Kings, that he allows the same thing to happen. We also know about his father is that he bowed himself to the children of Seir and burned incense before them. So what do you think is going to happen to Uzziah? Story thickens, doesn't it? The plot thickens. So what do we see happens to Uzziah? Verse 16 says, but when he was strong, he's now in a position or a place that he thinks he is at a level of superiority. And it's at that time and at that place where the fall comes, doesn't it? His heart is lifted up unto destruction, the word says in verse 16. For the sake of time, what does he do? He says, you know what? I've seen people since my daddy's time, maybe even before my daddy's time, go over to that hill over there, burn incense, offer stuff. I've seen it almost two generations. Let's see, to my daddy's time, and hey, I've allowed it also. But what makes these people different from me? They can go burn incense. Hey, yeah, I have an idea. I think my father even did it too. He got away with it. Not really got away with it, but he tried it. You know what? I'm at a position where I've expanded the kingdom of God economically, militarily, politically, in every aspect of a kingdom should be, I am the total representation of all that is good and what has happened in this era. there's one thing I can't do. I haven't tried. And Uzziah gets up the nerve that he's going to march into the temple and to burn incense in the temple. He has the desire and audacity to do something that he was not allowed to do, that was relegated only to the sons of Levi. And he goes in and he has a desire to offer incense before the Lord. Now the pride, as I have here, is a conceited sense of one's superiority. And this is what Uzziah had. And from historically, we see that in Isaiah, which speaks of Satan, how he fell from glory. And if you look at those passages in chapter 14, you will see the five I's, or the I wills, in that story. I will exalt my throne. I will ascend into heaven. I will sit. I will be above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. And so pride became the problem with Uzziah. Here's some of the verses that are covered that I looked up on pride and how God sees pride. Proverbs tells us that the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogance. The evil way in the forward mouth says, do I hate? Ooh. That is an aspect that the Lord has no room or no gray area about. Totally hates it, despises it. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord, and so forth. So pride becomes the fall of what happens to Uzziah. Uzziah goes into the kingdom, into the temple, and there he desires to make an offering before the Lord, to burn incense. C.S. Lewis once said of pride in his book, Mere Christianity, he talks about the greatest sin. The essential vice, the utmost evil, is pride. Unchastity, anger, greed, and drunkenness are mere flea biters in comparison. It was through pride that the devil became the devil. Pride leads to every other vice. It is the complete anti-God state of mind. As long as you are proud, you cannot know God. A proud man is always looking down on things and people. And of course, as long as you are looking down, you cannot see something else above you. So Uzziah has this issue of pride that he's going to go in and he's going to burn this incense. But wait. There's someone blocking him, some people blocking him. It is said that there is a priest that blocks Uzziah's entry in verse 17. But not only is there a priest, there's also 80 other priests who were there to stop Uzziah from entering. Interestingly, enough, we see that these 80 people, their names are not given, but yet they stand for the Lord and the importance of his honor and his glory, that they will withstand even the king from entering. Their allegiance and their position of being faithful to God and knowing what's right and what's wrong, they stop something from happening that shouldn't happen. Now we might say, well, the king, he knows better. Rajan covered in Deuteronomy 17, 18 of how when they become king, they're given the crown, but also they are to write the law, like they wrote the law. So he knows, Uzziah knows what's right and wrong. And they could have said, well, he's the king. He knows what's right or wrong. If he wants to do it, let him do it. But that's not their attitude. They say, no, Uzziah, you are not going in here. And I don't care what you say, or who you are, what your position is, God's word says you are not allowed to go in here. And that's their stance. Amazing, isn't it? 80 of them. Hey, Uzziah's trying to get into the temple. I'm just going to lay back in here. You five men, go ahead, take care of that. Five of you should be okay. No, all of them are on deck, on guard. Hey, you're not going in here. It isn't relegated to just five people to stand against him while the others sit around. They all stand up and say, hey, you are not going in here. I thought that was amazing. I look at these men's names aren't mentioned, but they stood for their convictions, regardless of the estate or the statue of the king. And they stand before him, and Uzziah has a censer in hand. He sees these men blocking his path. And it's at this point we see that there is a crossroads that Uzziah has. He has an out, if you might say, of what's going to happen. The out is there are 81 people standing in front of me saying, I cannot do this, who are standing for God. I can take my humility, take my censer, and go on out. Because why? Deep down I know it's wrong. And I shouldn't be doing this. Or I can be the king that I am, the reputation that I have, the publicity that I have, the authority that I have. I can go in there and do this thing. Why? Because I am Uzziah, the king. So Uzziah is there, standing before these 81 people. He sees them, and he gets angry that they're blocking his path. And they're saying, you can't come in here. And the moment he gets angry, he lost his out. Why? Because when he got angry, the scripture says the Lord struck him with leprosy. He could have just walked away. And maybe the Lord let him off. But in his anger to proceed, the Lord struck him with leprosy. What did the leprosy do to him? Well, if you know in the Jewish law and the Levitical law, the lepers are totally separated from the kingdom. They're separated from the fellowship of God. They're separated from the access to the temple. They're separated from their families. They're living outside. They're done. And so Uzziah, for the sake of time, I'll have to say, and simply, he's done. What is noted about Uzziah? It's not that his great kingdom he expanded, he developed, cultivated, he done in obedience to the Lord. All that is now cut off because of his sin. The testimony of a believer is so important that all that is done for the Lord, that is ground, that has now been captured, blessed by the Lord, can come totally down, crumbling by sin that overcomes a person. And especially in the ministry, it's the sin of pride. And so Uzziah is not remembered as this great king that had done these wonderful things. He is remembered now, what? As a king that is not buried in the tombs of Jerusalem with the other kings. He is a king that is buried outside in the field, outside of the camp, outside of the area, and that what? He is a leper. This is what his life was reduced to. The scripture says in verse 16, but when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. In humility, as long as we look and seek the Lord, God will make our way prosper. It is reinforced by Christ's teaching. It is reinforced by the epistles. You honor God, he will honor you. And he'll take care of you. That's one of the promises God has. And yes, we can believe in that and take stock in that through humility, seeking him and serving him. God will make us to prosper. It may not be monetary, money, but he's going to prosper you spiritually. The fruit that you leave behind, that you exercise, that the ground, the victories that you have in witnessing and winning others to the Lord and bringing others to the Lord, being hospitable, sharing, caring, doing all those things. You will prosper, yes. But when our hearts are lifted up in pride, certainly there is destruction. And in the case of Uzziah, the destruction was devastating to the kingdom. Why? Because he was in a position that his position had far-reaching areas of influence that now came tumbling down by his desire to do something he knew was wrong. Well, that is all I have. I have more, but that is all I have time for. So let us close in a word of prayer and we'll be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, of your promise in, that says as long as we seek you, Father, you will bless us, Father. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, Father. And so, Lord, we look to your promises, and we know that they are true, Father. Lord, I pray that you would help to guard our hearts against pride, Father. There are things in our lives that can be, that may lift that up, that may think that we're better than we actually are. Father, please that you, pray that, Father, that you will make us lowly, make us humble, Father. Make us tools and vessels to be used by you, that bring you the glory and honor above all, and that none of ourselves that we may boast in anything that we can do or have done. We ask your blessing upon this day, Father, and for the rest of the week. In Jesus' name, amen.